Well, take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, we are continuing in this mini-series in the book of Titus. This is part 3 in this mini-series on healthy teaching, healthy church. And our part 3 is focused on older women from Titus 2 verse 3. I am so thankful for what the Lord is doing in our three sister churches. We are growing in Christ. I can see it in each of our congregations. We're seeking to apply God's Word to our lives. Of course, no church is perfect until we all arrive in heaven. But I truly believe that healthy teaching that is applied leads to an overall healthy church. And I think we're seeing those results in our three sister churches. Through our study in the book of Titus, we've learned that our only hope of eternal life was promised to us in eternity past. It was accomplished in time by the work of Christ on our behalf. It is manifested to us by the preaching of the Word of God. And we as disciples of Christ have the privilege, we have the opportunity, we have the responsibility to evangelize and to make disciples. And this process of evangelism and disciple-making happens in the context of the local church and the ministries that stem from the local church. Therefore, the local church, Paul teaches us in the book of Titus, must have godly and qualified men who lead the church. They must be men who teach sound doctrine. They must be those that are willing and able to rebuke those who teach false doctrine. The local church is made up of people in all different stages of life. And that's what we're looking at now, in their physical lives and in their spiritual maturity. And the expectation and the natural outworking of a regenerated heart is a transformed life. Paul shows this by giving the expected conduct of older and younger men. That's what we've looked at the last couple weeks. And then older and younger women. That's what we look at this week and next week. So just because today we are focusing on older women, that does not mean that the rest of you get to take a nap. All right? There is always biblical principles that all of us can apply from every passage of Scripture to our own life. So I invite you to stay alert and awake as we come to the Word of God. Let me read for us Titus 2, verses 1 through 8. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Let's pray once again and commit our time to the Lord. Father, we thank you that we do have the privilege of gathering, the freedom that we enjoy in this country. We praise you for that. And I thank you for everyone who's made the effort to come out on a cold Sunday morning to be together, to encourage one another, to edify one another, and to hear from your word. And so I pray that you would speak through me. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would touch each of our hearts, that even though we're speaking specifically to older women this morning, that you would make the appropriate application that we need in our lives today. We pray this and commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I have enough gray in my beard that I hope represents some wisdom to know that I should not say what age divides older women from younger women. I might get myself in trouble. So I'll leave that up to you to decide. But Paul did tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:2 that we are to honor older women as mothers. And so this morning, I address you older women as mothers. And I thank you. I thank you for your godly lives that you have lived before us as a congregation. I'm thankful for my own mother, my own grandmothers, and other godly women that have had great impact on my own life. And you as older women have the opportunity to be an example, to teach and to train right here in our own congregation. You have blessed this congregation for years, and I am thankful for that. The fruit is evident in this congregation of older women who are seriously walking with Christ. And we are blessed by your life, and I am thankful for you. And so if you will indulge me and allow me for a few minutes to just humbly share with you these four truths from the book of Titus, from God's Word. The first, from Titus 2, verse 3, is a call to live your life in service to God. That is, that you are to be reverent in your behavior. Older women, you are to be those who honor God in all your conduct. This, of course, as we've been saying for the last several weeks, begins in the heart. It begins by cleaning the inside of the cup. And then from that, it spills forth into every aspect of your life. And so, older women, may you show in your lifestyle that your life is dedicated to God because your first love is Jesus Christ. The Greek word here for reverence actually brings across the idea of service in the temple. That's the idea here, service in the temple. But it is applying this idea of such reverence to an older woman's everyday conduct. Simply put, she is serving God in her body, which the New Testament teaches us is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are two beautiful examples of this in Luke's Christmas narrative that I want us to look at this morning. We'll look at the second of the two first, and then under our second point, we'll look at the first one as it comes chronologically in the narrative. So I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 36. We're going to look at two godly women, and I'm sure you can know before we even turn there who we're going to be talking about. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. This is the prophetess Anna. Luke 2:36. So just to set the scene a little bit, this is as Mary and Joseph are bringing their baby Jesus, to the temple. And first, they come across Simeon, and Simeon blesses them, and he prophesies over Jesus. And then we have Anna. Verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The prophetess Anna, an amazing woman of God. She shows her reverence and her devotion to God by continuing day and night in the temple, worshiping, praying, and fasting. Do you know how long she was doing this? Well, if she was married, maybe in her early 20s, and she was married for 7 years, she might have been in her late 20s or 30 when her husband died, and then she devoted herself to service in the temple. So some 54 years, possibly, she's been devoting herself to prayer and fasting, worshiping night and day, a lifetime of reverence and devotion to God. What a beautiful example. Her life was poured out because she loved God with all of her heart. And look at the great reward, the great gift that she received. Can you imagine as Mary and Joseph are walking towards her, and somehow she has a divine revelation, maybe it's even through Simeon's words, but there's some divine revelation that this is the Messiah. Can you imagine the joy in her heart, as well as the humility to think, who am I? Who am I? Of all the children of Israel, thousands of years of anticipating Messiah, and now I get to see the Messiah. What a gift. What a precious gift for this godly older woman. She gets to see the Messiah. And then what does she do? Does she walk away saying, I'm so glad I got to see the Messiah? No. She starts to go throughout the courtyard at the temple there. And look at what she says. She began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So she starts to speak to the other worshipers and tell them, this is the Messiah. This is the one that we've been waiting for. This is the one that all the sacrifices were pointing to. This is the Messiah. What a gift to her. And I love this last phrase, all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. They knew that they needed a redeemer and that there was coming a better city. Now, I just want to encourage you older women to be like Anna. To be like Anna. Live a life of reverence for God. Live your life in awe of who God is. Trust in Jesus. Live a Christ-exalting life every single day of your life. And if that is true, if that is characteristic of who you are, then you will be rewarded the greatest reward of seeing your Messiah. And not just for a few minutes or a few hours. We don't know how long she got to see baby Jesus. But your reward will be to be with your Messiah for all eternity. And what is that called? What does the Scriptures call that eternity? The New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. The redeemed Jerusalem. You will have the privilege of being with Jesus, with your Messiah, for all eternity. So ladies, I encourage you, as we turn back to Titus chapter 2, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior. Let this be what characterizes who you are as a person. Secondly, Paul says to the older women that they are to not be slanderers. Now, this Greek word is an interesting word, me diabolos. We're going to talk about that in a minute here. Throughout this section, Paul uses false teachers as a backdrop of a bad example, and he contrasts these five groups of people to who the false teachers are. I want to show you, first of all, who they are in regards to the older women. Verse 10 of chapter 1, look at what he says about the false teachers. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. Paul uses the false teachers as a backdrop all through this to say, this is what the false teachers do. This is their character. Now, as those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, this is what I expect your life to look like. And so he talked about that in regards to older men, younger men, and now we see in regards to the older women. Older women, you are to be the opposite of the false teachers. You are to not be a slanderer. Now again, the Greek word for this is me diabolos. Now if I save myself in not talking about older women's age, I might get myself in hot water now or in worse trouble, because the root word is the same root word for the devil. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you know Spanish, the Spanish word for the devil is el diablo. The devil, el diablo. And our word right here for not a slanderer is me diabolos. You are not to be like the devil, who himself is a slanderer. I want you to turn back to John chapter 8 and verse 44. John 8, verse 44. Jesus is talking with the leaders of Israel here, and they're questioning him, and they're questioning his character. And look at what he says to them in John 8, 44. I love how Jesus isn't afraid to speak the truth. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan, the devil, is the slanderer. He's the father of lies. He deceives. This is what characterized the false teachers. Older women, you are to be the opposite of this. You are to not be a slanderer. We can do so much with our tongue. We can either do much evil or we can do much good with our tongue. And so, older women, I encourage you to use your tongues to edify and build up. And I want to show you another woman in the Luke narrative. So turn back to Luke chapter 1. A godly older woman who exemplified using her tongue for good. Luke chapter 1, and you know this person as well. This is Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, you know the story, I think, that Zechariah is in there serving, and an angel appears to him and tells him that his prayers have been answered. Their prayers for years for a child have been answered. And he doubts. And so the angel says that he won't be able to speak until this child, John the Baptist, is born. But I want you to turn over now to chapter 2. And we're going to pick up the story with Mary and her pregnancy. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb. I'm sorry, we're in Luke chapter 1 still. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, and the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now look at this. God has blessed these two women, one advanced in years, one very young, with a miraculous conception. That is, that they were able to conceive, one in her old age and one as a virgin. Amazing. Amazing. God had heard the prayer of Zechariah and of Elizabeth, and he blessed them with a child in their old age. And in the middle of experiencing their own miracle, their own blessing from God, they receive a young visitor. Let's pick it up in verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Now, we don't know all the backstory between Elizabeth and Mary, but obviously they had a good relationship. And Mary, with all the uncertainties and insecurities that a young, pregnant, unmarried teenager would have, went to visit her elderly relative, Elizabeth. Now, we have to understand the context of their culture. It would not necessarily have been one of love and acceptance of an unmarried, pregnant young woman. Probably at the very least, she would be shunned, if not ridiculed, if not even stoned. In fact, the rumor, the gossip, the slander against Mary and against Jesus their whole life, it appears, was that he was born out of sexual immorality. In the same text that we looked at before, John chapter 8 and verse 41, the Jewish leaders questioning who Jesus is and his authenticity, they say, "We were not born of sexual immorality," maybe referencing the rumors about Jesus' birth. Now we know from Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, that Joseph himself, who was engaged or betrothed to Mary, he thought that Mary had been immoral, and he was seeking to secretly divorce her. He had to have an angel tell him, "No, go and marry her," that she had not been immoral, but that she was miraculously pregnant with the Messiah. So when we come to this section in Luke then, and we see this interaction between Mary and Elizabeth, you have to think of the cultural context. That there would have been great pressure for Elizabeth to look down upon Mary, to say, "Excuse me, young lady, what have you done? What are you doing?" But thankfully, she had some divine revelation, and she doesn't respond that way. She responds with blessing, and she blesses Mary. But even with that divine revelation, you can imagine the cultural pressure would have been great to add some sort of little jab, right? Like, you had better do something to cover yourself up or something like that. But she doesn't say anything like that. She blesses her. And the result is what we call the Magnificat. And Mary said in verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Can you imagine if the reverse had been true? If Elizabeth had chided Mary instead of blessing her? Oh, but she didn't. She blessed her and she rejoiced with her. And the result was health for Mary's spirit. What do the false teachers do with their empty words, with their deception? They tear apart families. What did Elizabeth do with her words of encouragement and her blessing? She bound up a family. She encouraged a family. Older women, I want to encourage you, especially as we start to move towards next week and talking about the younger women, use your words for encouragement. God has given you an opportunity to encourage younger women, to encourage the next generation. Use your words for encouragement. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Life and death are in the power of the tongue." Use your words to encourage others and to bless others. The next thing that Titus says is that older women are to not be slaves. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. Sometimes, for older women, the trials of life, the disappointments of life, the pain of aging have led various older women to attempt to forget all that pain, all that suffering, all the disappointments through a dulling of their senses with alcohol. This likely was an enticing temptation in their context. You can imagine this warm Mediterranean island. Likely there were vineyards and winemaking there, and wine would have been readily available. And so it would have been a temptation for older women. Just as alcohol and prescription drugs are readily available in our society in the 21st century. Let me say to older women, enslavement is a very somber word. This is a somber word. To be a slave to much alcohol or a slave to a prescription drug, that's a somber word. That you can't escape, you're a slave, you're stuck. Don't go there, older women. Trust in the Lord. Yes, there's going to be disappointments. Yes, there's going to be loneliness. Yes, there's going to be trials. And you're going to say, "Lord, I thought it was going to be this way, and it turned out this way. Why?" There's going to be questions. But you say, "Lord, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to thank you. And I'm going to continue on, and I'm going to be part of the body of Christ where I can be encouraged and I can be an encourager." Don't let the wine be what takes the edge off. Let the body of Christ come around you and encourage you. This puts the ball back in the court of the body of Christ, that we are to be those who also encourage older women. Let's not drop the ball. Let's not drop the ball. Paul wants older women to have clear minds for their own sake and so that they might be able to help teach others also, especially the younger women. Proverbs 20, verse 1, I've mentioned this verse before, says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." Let it be a warning for all of us. But this morning, especially to the older women. Finally, we finish this by coming kind of full circle. We've been talking about how healthy teaching leads to healthy living or a healthy church. And he finishes verse 3 by saying, they are to teach what is good. So he's called upon pastors and elders to have sound teaching. He's called upon the young men, specifically Titus, to have sound speech that cannot be condemned. And now he tells the older women that they are to teach what is good. That their teaching is to be good teaching, sound teaching, healthy teaching. And it's to be both with their words, and we'll see next week that also with the example of their lives. This phrase at the beginning of verse 4, "and so..." This is what is called the henna purpose clause. The purpose of this godly life is so that they might train the younger women to love their husbands and children and we'll see that next week. Older women, you are to be characterized by reverence, by sobriety, by encouraging speech, not slander, in order that you might teach and exemplify godly living to the younger women. Older women, we are so thankful for you. Thank you for living your lives in reverence before God and before us as a congregation. We just want to encourage you and thank you. And this is Valentine's Day. We say that we love you. And young men and men, you had better thank your wives. You had better thank your mothers and your grandmothers. Thank them for who they are and how they've influenced your lives. May we honor them today. Let's pray. Father, you have been so good to our congregation in blessing us with many godly older women. Oh, we pray that you would bless and encourage them today. May their hearts be lifted up in praise to you. May they continue to live out their lives in reverence for you. May they continue to encourage others with their words. May they continue to live a life of serious thinking and serious living. May they continue to be an example to younger women and to all of us as a congregation. Thank you for them. May your blessing be upon them today and every day. We commit them to you in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.